Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
It's 2 a.m.
Well, actually, it's 2 p.m., but, you know, Golden Earring and Twilight Zone. That's what you get for working with an old rock and roll jock like me, you know? Hey, nothing smells or spells like fall other than a turkey in the oven for Thanksgiving. And do you know how to get that big bird from the farm to the oven or to the smoker and then to the table? Well, today here on The Nation, this is Barbecue Nation, by the way, we're going to lend you a little hand figuratively with that. My guests are here on The Nation today, Christine Bowe from the USDA Food Safety. Well, Christine has been on the show several times before. And Mark Anderson, my new best friend here, sitting immediately to my left from Shampooey Farms down there between Wilsonville and St. Paul, Oregon. And, of course, this is Barbecue Nation, and on here, KXL, that's where we're home-based at, and the Radio Northwest Network. So it's The Nation. Let's go. Welcome, everybody. Christina Bowe, my dear friend from, she's our, like our, we said, she's our food bureaucrat back there in Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
So what does the USDA say about a little food safety for these big birds to start the show off? Because I know, you know, there's always this thing, the local news, and of course I work with an ABC affiliate out here also on the West Coast, and they're always like, you know, don't get any turkey juices on the counter or blah, blah, blah. What does the USDA say about that?
Well, we have a lot to say. Over 46 million turkeys will be eaten this year at Thanksgiving. That's a huge number. And for a lot of chefs, whether this is your first time hosting Thanksgiving or you're like you, Jeff, and you're just experienced as ever, you can still sometimes make mistakes that can get people sick. And so it's the biggest meal of the year usually that people cook. And the turkey, its centerpiece, is the biggest piece of meat a lot of people will ever cook in their lives. So we want to make sure that they're handling it correctly, they're thawing it properly, washing their hands, separating it from other ready-to-eat foods, and cooking it to a safe temperature, to at least 165 degrees.
I think that's all good advice. What do you tell people, Mark?
We've kind of put these recommendations from the USDA on our website and did some of our own test cooks on our birds, because the pasture-raised birds that we feature, they actually cook a little bit quicker than the conventional store-bought birds.
Mm-hmm.
So we've given them some specific cooking instructions based on our variety of birds.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's basically the same. And, you know, the first bird's the hardest one to ever cook. And then once you figure that out, it kind of people roll with it and do a little experimentation and whatnot. So,
well, let me give you a little background story here. When I was a kid, the old school, and this was, you know, a previous century now, their theory was that you just cooked the bloody hell out of those birds, because my mom would get up at literally like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, put that bird in the oven for Thanksgiving. And it didn't matter whether it was a 12-pound bird or a 20-pound bird, that thing went in the oven. And by the time she served it, because we always had Thanksgiving because we had a large extended family, and I know there's a lot of people listening that are going to, you know, identify with this, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, that bird was about like as dry as his countertop here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you couldn't put enough gravy on that thing. You know, yeah. It just wasn't.
It was a conspiracy from the Gravy Association.
I think so. It's the same people that steal one sock in the dryer. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. But as when I got older and I started cooking, and then I kind of took over those duties, if you will, my mother all morning would say, you got to put the turkey in the oven. You got to put the turkey in the oven. No, Mom, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and right now I'm kind of working on the stuffing or doing whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, you got to get it in the oven. And, you know, to this day, my mom is 92 to be 93 here shortly. At Thanksgiving, she'll still call me in the morning. She comes to our house and says, have you got the turkey in the oven yet? No. So what do you see, Christina, in the food safety and the juices? I know that it is. Do you recommend that they rinse off these birds? Do they you towel dry them? Do you dry them with a hair dryer? What do you recommend that people do with these?
You know, we know that in a lot of people's family traditions, they wash off the turkey. We recommend not rinsing it, and it's a very, you know, sensitive topic. We recommend not rinsing it because the bacteria doesn't wash off in the water with water. You know, it's just splashes onto other surfaces in the kitchen, onto your sink, onto towels, everything else. So we recommend to not do that. Of course, when you're brining a turkey, you have to, like, wash it off, especially if you have sugar in your brine. Otherwise, it'll burn on the turkey. So if you do, make sure that you're sanitizing that area right after so that you don't have that bacteria all over your kitchen.
Well, that makes sense to me. I mean, if people actually saw what professional chefs do behind the scenes, they might not eat what we cook, but Mark's looking at me like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So do you sell frozen birds or are yours all, you know?
Ours are all frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a backstory to that. But yeah, we freeze all our birds because we actually butcher them in October, September,
mm-hmm.
before the weather turns like it has been lately.
Yeah, nasty.
Yeah, they don't grow well in downpours because ours are outside, so.
Oh yeah. Well, yours are free range, right? Is that or
yeah?
Sort
we
of,
we expand
that?
Upon that and go with what they call a pasture model, and that's just free range means access to the outdoors. Where our pasture model is, we're literally moving them twice a week into another section of grass.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eating that grass and all that vegetation really helps add some flavor, plus the fresh air and that exercise. So that's why they cook dry out a little bit quicker than most turkeys because they're so lean from all that extra activity and lifestyle.
That's so good, though.
Where free range is more of a house with a run alongside of it, and they just go out and it turns to dirt pretty quick. And they're outside. They're getting fresh air, but not nearly what we provide them.
Well, that's, you know, if you were a cattleman, I would tell you you're saving the riparian area there by moving them off and moving them into another grazing area.
Well, you're really close to something there. Is my batches are about 600 birds a batch, right? And if I leave them in one spot for any more than 4 days, it just totally turns to dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the manure buildup builds up. And what that manure is so high in nitrogen, it'll burn the soil. And only certain grasses can handle that nitrogen level. And it's not the grasses the turkeys like. And so you get this problem where you destroy your pasture.
Sure.
So you've got to move them quick. So it's, riparian, saving the soil.
Yeah.
Because we've got layers that follow over that same area or preceded cows, sheep, whatever. It's a whole cycle of animals sharing the same pasture. So we've got to move them.
That's good. I like to hear that. Okay, Christine, before we go to break really quick, what's your one favorite thing, one favorite part of the turkey to eat? And don't tell me you don't eat turkey.
Of course I eat turkey. I love actually like dark meat a lot, like the legs and the thighs. I think it just like retains more juiciness. And so I do eat the breast, but it does tend to be a little bit drier if it's a little overcooked. But nothing a little gravy can't handle.
Little gravy can't handle. So here's the deal, guys. I want to tell you about something. If you're going to smoke your turkey, and of course, we use a lot of pellet smokers out here, okay? Bear Mountain barbecue pellets are absolutely the best, and they're the most popular because they sell the most. It really has to do with the way they're made. Now, we had Levi Stryer on the show a week or so ago talking about this, but they produce a very light, delicate smoke. And the flavor, whether it's apple or hickory or cherry or whatever type of finished flavor you have you're using, doesn't, like, overbear on your food. Bear Mountain Pellets also have the proper mixture of wood base and the other flavor woods like that. So it's Bear Mountain Forest Products. You heard it here on the Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Christina Bowe, not Mary Hill from Cherry Hill Park, Billy Joel Royal here, but and also Mark Anderson on The Nation. Be back in just a minute.
Lasted all day, two way after dark. All the girls, they criticized her. But all the
it's full-flavored radio. Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to The Nation. Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Miss Beaujolais, as usual in the studio. Yes, ma'am. And we've got Christina Bowe. Now, don't get confused because we've got two kind of Southern Cajun names on the show today. They're both great people. And we've got Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms. And you still got turkeys for sale, don't you?
Yes.
You haven't sold out yet?
No, not technically.
Not technically? Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute. By the way, if you want to email us, you can do barbecuenation@kxl.com. If you have a recipe you want to send me to use on the air, if I use it, you get a prize. That's recipes@kxl.com. So before we go, oh, I got to say hi to our affiliates, too. KPNW, or a couple of them, in Eugene, and KACI in the Dalles. Very good. We like, thank you for being with us. So here's our first little piece of Thanksgiving trivia before we get back to talking seriously. Who sponsored the first large Thanksgiving Day parade? You know that, Christina?
It's probably not Macy's then, huh?
No, it is not Macy's. It is not Macy's. And it's not in New York.
Oh.
Coca-Cola.
No. No. Kayleen?
Well, I said the Pilgrims.
You said the Pilgrims, and that was pretty good. That was pretty good. And it wasn't George Bush either, so, you know.
Well, what's like a turkey brand?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, can you give us a hint? About that. Give us a year. When did this happen?
1920.
Oh boy. George.
Okay, that was even further back.
It's
Sears
almost
and Roebuck and Company or something.
You're close.
JCPenney.
Nope. 1920. Gimbals.
Oh, okay. That's and it that was, Santa
it,
Claus.
Yeah, and it was in Philadelphia. Movie. Yeah. Mm. It was not in New York, it was in Philadelphia. So there's a little Thanksgiving trivia for you there.
Wasn't Gimbals where the Santa Claus guy was in
Miracle on 34th
Thank
Street.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Maureen O'Hara, who just passed away a couple weeks ago. Great lady. Wonderful lady. Back to turkeys. What do you recommend cooking, Christina, from the USDA? Because we'll probably get different answers from Mark on this. But how do you, you know, what do you, 18 minutes a pound, 347 minutes a pound? What do you suggest?
Well, like, it also depends if it's stuffed or unstuffed. So I guess for like a 20 to 24 pound turkey, we recommend like 4.5 to 5 hours. 18 to 20, we recommend about 4.5 hours. 14 to 18 pounds, about 3.5 to 4 hours. So it just depends how big it is. We do have a chart with a timetable for turkey roasting at foodsafety.gov if you would like to go see that.
Well, you can send that to me, or we'll look it up, and I'll put it on the website for
us. Okay, I'll send it to you for sure.
Okay, we can do that. Mark, what are you talking about cook time for these birds?
I'm looking at my chart, actually. We're about an hour shorter than most of what her recommendations are, and because it varies so much per bird.
Yeah.
You know, we really just make sure you have a good thermometer and check that thigh. When it gets to 165, because you think about that. I mean, if you had a 20-pound bird, it's going to keep cooking.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of density there. So, and it's, you know, it's honestly better to have it a little
got to keep cooking
moister
on the counter
than on the drier side.
Yeah, we recommend cooking like a pro with the pro method. And P, you place the thermometer in three different parts of the bird, in the thickest part of the breast, the innermost mm-hmm. part of the wing, and the innermost part of the thigh. R, read the temperature to make sure it's at least 165 degrees. And then O, take it out of the oven and let it set for about 20 to 30 minutes to, like Mark said, to allow those juices to settle so it doesn't dry out as soon as you start carving it.
There you go.
You know, we cooked one off yesterday, and we were watching it really carefully every 10 minutes, and it was weird. The last 20 minutes, it spiked. Like, mm-hmm. it finally heated the inside, and it went, we were like, oh, it's going up 5 degrees every 10, you know, in the last few minutes, it just, like, uh-oh. Whoops,
oh, yeah.
Missed
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and not, I know we're talking about turkeys, but, you know, like a big prime rib, which we'll be talking about at Christmas, too. Same type of thing. It can sit there and it can cook and it yeah. can cook and it can cook. And all of a sudden you got your thermometer there and you're kind of in the middle. And all of a sudden it goes, boom, it's up at, you know, 125 or something like that. And you're going, I got to get this out of here.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, five more minutes can make a tremendous, as a cook, five more minutes in the oven can make a tremendous difference in the flavor and the juices and that. Now, Christine, you touched on something there, and I want to get both of your opinions on this. And you too, Kayleen, if you can jump in here. I've always been a proponent of stuffing the bird, okay? I like the stuffing that comes out of the bird. But here's a little Jeff Tracy secret. I don't serve that to people. I save that for, like, my daughter likes it, and I like it, and my wife likes it. So I kind of make that separate little bowl and I put it aside. And then I just, you know, do the broth and the juices and stuff and put that in my other dressing. But I don't serve it, but I do stuff the bird and cook it like that. So you guys can jump in on that. We've got about a minute and a half before we got to go to break here. So,
well, does that do something for the bird by having the stuffing in? Because like you said, it doesn't really make very much, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it imparts the flavors of those onions, and that depends on what you put in your
sure.
stuffing.
Yeah.
But I think the concern always is if there's raw juices in there and something doesn't cook right. That's why there's a lot of...
Right. We recommend to make sure that at least the center of the stuffing reaches 165, too, so that you know that that's safe. Personally, I like cooking it outside of the turkey because I like when it's a little crispy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the really moist in the turkey stuffing.
Well, see, we do it both ways. And so when you have it, but like, I don't know, we're kind of weird, but, you know, I'll take that stuff out and then I will actually put that in a separate bowl and put it in the oven for
yeah.
a few minutes.
Well, when I come over to your house. When
you can do that.
I'd like access to
that. You'd like access to that? We yeah. can do that. All right. By the way, Painted Hills, as this show is airing, I am down in Eugene at the Quack Shack at the Ducks game. Doing the Painted Hills, serving their steaks and stuff this weekend. And they've been mm-hmm. a proud sponsor of the Quack Shack all year long through duck season. And we thank them for that. You can go to naturalbeef.com or you can just call me and I'll tell you how to get a hold of them. We'll be back on The Nation in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Got to give me my microphone on there. There you go. Welcome back to The Nation, Barbecue Nation here on KXL and the Radio Northwest Network. I'm your host, JT, along with Miss Kayleen Beaujolais riding the slides for us today. And we've got Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms out there. And, of course, our dear friend from Washington, D.C., via Louisiana, Christina Beau from the USDA. There, I got everybody in. Everybody's in there. So, little more Thanksgiving trivia for you. Now, Mark, if you got this on your cheat sheet, you can't do this. When did Thanksgiving become a holiday, and under what president? Kayleen's over there trying to look it up on her cell phone.
I feel like it was probably a really famous president. So I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln.
You looked it up. You looked it up.
I can't lie to you.
And it was 1863, right?
Yes.
Okay. So one other, here, just for that. In 1934, the first Thanksgiving Day football, professional football game was played. The Detroit Lions played who?
The Green Bay Packers?
That was one of the choices, but no. But that was pretty close. Kayleen, you know?
No.
No? Mark?
Having a clue.
Chicago Bears.
Aw.
There you go. There you go.
Who won?
The Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears always win. Except Detroit did win a game the other day. That I think they turned some lights on in the city or something back there. So you're talking about brining turkeys. And a lot of people brine them. I do not. I have. When I'm smoking them and stuff, I do that. But more conventionally for Thanksgiving, we're kind of traditionalists there where we roast the turkey. Et cetera, et cetera. How I do that, just so you know, is I don't rinse it off, because the other thing is when you try to rinse it off, that you start screwing around with the skin on the turkey, and then it looks ugly, and I'm not into looking ugly, at least with my food. So I will actually put a little olive oil on it, and I do it on the inside too, and sometimes I'll lift it up, and if I'm going to use some garlic, I'll make sometimes like a little light garlic paste or some other seasonings and kind of under the parson snout and stuff and put that up in there. Then I put a little salt on it on the outside. And then I, whether I stuff it or not, and I also buy two extra drumsticks every year because, like you guys, we love the dark meat. And I buy like 5 pounds of giblets because I'm a hog and I could just cook them and eat them. But anyway, that's what we do. So tell us, Christina Bo, who's going back down to Louisiana, how do you cook your turkeys?
We don't brine it either. We like to mix a little, like, butter. We like room temperature butter with, like, garlic and salt and pepper and put all that, rub it all over the turkey. Or sometimes they do a Cajun spice turkey with mm-hmm. some butter as well. That's you got, my favorite.
You got Kayleen on that one. When you said Cajun spice, her eyes went like, boo-boo.
Yeah. Like, and my dad makes the skin so crispy, it's perfect.
That's what you need. Okay, Mark, you're the professional turkey guy here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, on that crispy skin, my wife's kind of got a technique where she'll cover the breasts with tinfoil so that it doesn't brown too fast, and then remove that like 30, 40 minutes right before it's done.
Yeah.
To get that crispy. And, you know, it works really, really good. But, yeah, we're also rubbing it with herbs and butter and
stuff.
Bacon.
Yeah. Stuff
it. And then Katie always puts a little bit of turkey broth or something in the bottom of the pan to help just as that steams and enhances the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing about rinsing the brine turkey, if you go, we go either way. They say not to do it on a pasture bird, just at least your first time so you can see the real flavor. But your gravy could turn out too salty if depending on your brine.
Yes.
So we've had that where the gravy's awesome, but it's kind of salty.
Well, the problem, you know, like you have in my, I was telling you about my mom and stuff, and I have older relatives, and they come by, and they always want to help you cook. And they come by, and they're like tasting the gravy or something, and it's like, it's not salty enough for them or something. So they're, when they're, you're not looking, they're dumping stuff in your gravy. And then by the time you get it to the table, it looks like a little pillar of Morton salt or something, you know, right there. It's just not very good. So,
again, that's why the first bird, the first time, it's so much pressure.
Do you cook up, you ever cook a bird upside down?
I think we've done that.
Yeah. How about you, Christine?
You mean like put it on its breast and then turn it over like halfway?
Yep.
My mom's done that before.
The only thing, if you're going to do that, you have to be careful, from my experience, is because you if you let it go too long and you haven't properly greased the pan, so to speak, you'll rip the skin off the breast.
What about one of those little racks?
You can do that. You got a V rack. We've done that, and that works out really good. And I really like that because, again, not knocking anybody's products, but some of these turkeys that are frozen may have been there for a while in the discount bin, you know, and they might not have the flavor that you're looking for. But one of the ways to do that as a cook is you can turn it upside down and cook it for about 2 hours that way, and then flip it back, and then you can get it all nice and brown and all that stuff. But all those juices from, you know, the thighs and the legs, the dark meat, runs down through there. And it works out really well. You just got to pay attention. That's one of the things.
Yeah. And that works really well if you're pre-cutting it before it goes on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even notice.
Right.
They're just like, whoa, this is the best turkey ever.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's what you get when you buy my birds. You just get the best turkey ever.
That's what I'm expecting.
And I let the cooks take all the credit.
There you go. Yeah. Well, you're a smart man. Mm-hmm. That's how you get on the radio, you know, like that. No, we have to make the presentation, you know. We put the bird on the table, and it sits there, and everybody's kind of, because we serve this kind of buffet style, because, you know, we get a lot of people marching through. And so then we'll go ahead and I'll take the bird off and go slice it,
mm-hmm.
cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I do is I get rid of the carcass right away. And before anybody goes, gasp, don't you make? No, I do not, because I grew up with this not too shiny turkey noodle soup for a week after Thanksgiving. And so when I got big enough, I'd pick the carcass clean, and then I would literally throw it out at the back door over the fence into the pastures, and the coyotes would carry it off. And my mom would say, where's the car? It's all done. There you go. How much time we got left here, Kayleen? Yeah. About 2.5. Okay, we're going to start the lightning round real quick, and we'll finish it in the last segment, okay? Now, Christina, if Mark gets stuck, you can help him out here, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms. This is your lightning round. Do you have a favorite cut of meat?
Turkey.
There you go. What is the optimum aging time for a turkey?
Aged before process?
Yes.
14 weeks.
14 weeks, okay. If we made you czar of barbecue or cooking in general for a week, what would you declare?
Meat for every meal.
Meat for every meal. What is the best day for Mark Anderson in away from work? What does that entail for you?
November 28th is pretty nice around our place.
I bet it is. I bet it is. Leading up to Christmas, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, people eat roast and goose.
Yeah. If you had one person to cook for you, who would it be?
My wife, of course.
You're a smart man. One thing you wish you had never eaten?
Oh, I got my daughter to eat a chunk of turkey heart yesterday. She didn't know what it was.
Yeah, but
I tried it just to, you know, be fair.
I eat them. So, but was there anything you wish you hadn't have eaten in your life?
Not off the top of my head. I think I blocked those memories out.
Okay. What's your favorite band or musical group?
I'm really into this French band called Caravan Palace.
Okay. I do not know them, but I will find out about them. Your favorite beverage?
Water.
Water?
That's what I try to eat now. If I wasn't paying attention, I'd drink some nice mug root beer.
There you go. Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
There you go. And best advice for people cooking turkey this Thanksgiving?
If you want to succeed, buy my bird.
Buy your bird. Okay. There you go. Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Mark and Christina and Kayleen and the whole gang here on The Nation right after this. My whole life spins into a frenzy.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to The Nation. This would be Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT, along with Ms. Beaujolais, Ms. Beau, and Mr. Anderson today. How's that? A little more trivia for you. Cranberry sauce, the traditional Thanksgiving staple, is not so universally admired as you might think. Millennials are less likely to be fans of the sauce. It says here in this little study I'm reading, 33% will not be eating cranberry sauce versus 23% of non-millennials. And roughly half of those hosting Thanksgiving dinner will be planning it up to a month before, while an equal number, that's about 48%, only start about a week before in planning. I've already got this thing planned. My deal, you know. So, Mark, you were talking when we were at break there real quick. How big a bird should people buy?
Yeah, I think it fits in with that planning. You know, it changes, your guest list changes fairly often. But typically what we recommend is for big groups, you know, 12 to 15, you need to get a bigger bird. And they recommend 1.5 pounds raw bird to every guest for when you're above a 12-pound bird. And that's because the bone-to-meat ratio is bigger,
mm-hmm.
is better. If you're fewer guests and you need that, they say 2 pounds per person when you're getting an under a 12-pound bird, which is under 12 is a small turkey.
It's a small turkey. So, Christina, how big a bird do you guys, when you go home next week, how big a bird do you cook down there?
My mom usually cooks about a 20-pound bird. We usually have a lot of people come in, about 15
mm-hmm.
friends and family. So, yeah, probably about a 20-pound bird. She already last week text messaged me asking if I wanted anything in particular to eat because she was going grocery shopping. I'm in charge of the crawfish gravy this
year.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Now there goes Kayleen again. She got her.
I need
off.
To get to New Orleans for Thanksgiving.
Yes,
or just any time to eat.
You got her off the reservation already. What's your favorite besides the turkey? What's your favorite thing about the Thanksgiving dinner, Christina?
I like all the Cajun dishes that we have, but mm-hmm. my favorite thing is probably the sweet potato casserole. It's Ooh. Been in our family for a really long time. And it has the toasted marshmallows on top, but we also cook pecans in it, like throughout the sweet potatoes instead of just on top with the marshmallows. So it's almost like a dessert. So
oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah. I bet you sold me on that one. Kayleen, what's your favorite?
My favorite Thanksgiving dish? You know, I have to say it's the stuffing with gravy.
There you go.
And the rolls.
So do you put water chestnuts in your stuffing? I do.
Mm-mm.
I put, besides the onions and garlic and that stuff, I put water chestnuts and mushrooms and diced up bits of giblets, which most people just think it's dark meat, but it's not. It's giblets, but I trim all the gristle off and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
mm-hmm.
just a really, I cook those, you know, I kind of like boil them, and I use that stock too, but you just boil the hell out of them, and then they, after about 3 days, they're really tender. but it really adds to the flavor, I
yeah,
think, of
yeah.
the gravy and also the stuffing. What's your favorite?
I'm all about that stuffing, gravy, and potato metallity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does it for me. I usually eat more of that than the turkey because the leftovers are great with the turkey.
Yeah.
You know, it's for me, it is also the week after because you got that avocado turkey sandwich.
Yep. Oh,
all
yeah.
Those fun things you can do.
Oh, yeah. And my favorite, mine's pecan pie, too. I make pretty killer pecan pie. Not dissing anybody down in Louisiana, but I do make a pretty mean pecan pie.
So do I. One day we'll have to put them to the test.
We'll have a pie off. How's that? that is very good. Well, you know what? This has been a fun show. I'm going to put Mark's website on my blog, both on the cowboycook.com blog and, of course, on the KXL site. I'm going to put Christina's little chart up there that she has sent me. I haven't seen it yet, but we'll make sure it gets there. So, Mark Anderson, Shampooey Farms, we'll put your contact name. Oh, real quick, your turkeys are available at New Seasons.
That's right.
And
you can go to their website and select. We're under local pasture-raised option.
Okay.
Or they got a 1-800 phone line, too, you could call.
Okay, New Seasons for Mark's turkeys there. And Christina Bo, you have a safe trip, my dear.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Miss Beaujolais, you and I are going to keep talking here. So I got to go. We got to go. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving this upcoming week. Thank you, all my guests and our affiliates down the line. McGarian's coming up. He's knocking back a few to get ready. We'll see you next week on the Barbecue Nation.